Now, if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Romans. And we're going to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and we shall read through to the end of verse 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Amen. And so reads God's word. Now, as we open the scriptures, shall we just pray God's help upon us? Oh God, we stand now upon holy ground. This is your word, the word of the eternal sovereign God. We pray as we read it now, that you in mercy towards us would give us the assistance of your Holy Spirit and help us to benefit from it. Cause this word to be a blessing to each one of us, we pray. Whether we speak it or whether we sit down in one of the pews, hear us, we pray. Feed us this morning, Lord. Lord, how we need your word. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Help us, we pray. Speak to us and build us up this morning in the things of thyself. For we pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. We've sang this morning in our hymns, haven't we, of the blessed rich state of every believer, of everyone whose faith and trust for their salvation is in the Lord Jesus. And yet so often we can lose sight and therefore suffer as a result of the blessed position, the eternal position of everyone who rests in Christ. You know, the scriptures are clear, aren't we, that for those who are such, we're God's children. We've been adopted by grace into his family. The Apostle John was amazed, wasn't he, when he wrote these words? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. Let me ask you, who's your trust in? Who is your belief? Who is your faith in this morning? Christmas is coming, isn't it? And we'll probably have these words read to us. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What a blessed, what a glorious position every believer is in. Despite my unworthiness, by his grace, I am a member of his family. I am a child of God. We also, don't we, have a mediator between us and God. What's a mediator? A mediator is one who speaks for both parties, but more than that, understands both parties. The Lord Jesus took upon himself flesh and was in all points as we are, yet without sin. He said, didn't he, those who have seen me have seen the Father. Paul wrote to Timothy these words, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So when you pray and you struggle what words to use, when you pray and you cannot find the words to express that which you would seek to bring before God, well, thank God he has given us a mediator who understands us and presents perfectly before the throne of heaven that which is truly upon our hearts. We're adopted. We have a mediator. The Lord Jesus is our propitiation. What does that mean? It's when his life and his death, he satisfied in full for us God's justice. And John writes these words, in this is love. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied for us the perfect holiness and justice of God. And therefore, God is able to extend grace and mercy to sinners such as we. What a blessed state the Christian is in. Now, that list could go on and on. But I want us, for the time that we have this morning, just to look at one other, one of the many other blessings that we have in Christ. Because I've already said, when these things are lost from memory, doubts and fears can come in. I'm sure you know this. I'm sure your Pastor Bill knows this as well. What's often on the hearts and the minds of the flock, the group of the people of God, they often don't express. They never declare. Might be ashamed. Might be fearful. Well, let's know this, that these things can lead to doubt of one's salvation. They lead to worry. They rob God's children of the richness of the blessing that they have in Christ. What we're going to look at for the time that we have is this word, this position of justification. It means this. In the law courts, one is either guilty or has been justified, meaning that all charges of guilt have been lifted, never to be held against them again. All charges have been dropped. And the blessed state of every believer this morning is this, that you have been justified. All the charges of sin, God quite rightly has, have been removed forever. All guilt shall not be brought up again by God to the believer. We know this, don't we, that when John was on the Isle of Patmos, he was given an insight of a future coming day. And he wrote these words, "He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Why mourn? Well, surely it's this, that there shall be a realization upon mankind of guilt and of sin. And not just a realization of such, but the anticipation of coming wrath for sin. Without exception, every eye, whether we profess or not, shall see him. Now we have a problem here, don't we? Because all have sinned. All are guilty before God. And Job, 2,000 years before the birth and the coming in the flesh of the Lord Jesus, wrote these words. He said, "How can a mortal man be right before God? God is the Holy One, and I am the sinful one." And Job groans from his heart. How can I meet God? How can mortal man be right before God? Job knew, as we know, that all have sinned and come short, continually fall short, that means, of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. And in our guilt, God cannot even look upon us. His eyes are too holy. What hope of any God? How can we be acquitted of our guilt? How can we be declared blameless and righteous? How can we have a right standing before God? Well, the good news this morning is this. It is found in justification. It is a declaration by God to the repentant one who looks alone to Christ for forgiveness and salvation, that they are righteous. So what is it? What's justification? Knowing our guilt, knowing our shame. It's this, it is a gracious act of God declaring righteous the sinner who believes in Christ Jesus. It's not a process. It is a declaration by God. All who have been justified, justification being the process, all who have been declared righteous by God are equal in the sense that one is not more righteous than the other. We sing, don't we? the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And the scriptures are also clear. We read these words in Romans 8. It is God that justifieth, never man. Man is as sinful as I am, whoever that man is. But Paul writes to teach the church at Rome, as he writes to us in Alton Park this morning, it is God and God alone who justifies. And when a person is justified, declared righteous by God, the problem of their sin is settled once and for all. And that position is an eternal one. It's an unchanging one. Isn't God gracious? Because he didn't declare us to be faultless before each other. He declared us righteous by him and in his sight. And Paul, again to the Romans, writes these words, therefore, because of this gracious declaration by God, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God accepts the believer, the ones that because of Christ he has justified faithfully, continually, unchangingly. We must be careful. There's things linked here. But just let me say this. Justification, this gracious declaration by God that the believer is justified, has all charges forever removed, differs from forgiveness. When a person sins, we shall be forgiven by God in his grace continually. You see, repeated forgiveness is required. But this gracious declaration by God never needs repeating. It's a one-off. And it's eternal. You know, when Jesus said, didn't he, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we're conscious of our failings and our faults, that consciousness, you know, is even a blessing from God. It's one of the many evidences of salvation, because we know our own hearts. We know our state. And when we sin and let down God, let God down, that consciousness is surely this. It's the realization afresh that, Lord, forgive me. And there's a hungering and a thirsting after the things of himself. The justified one is forever amazed at the wonder and at the mercy and the gracious ways of God towards them. Jesus said this, didn't he, in what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our trespasses. We're conscious of it. But that state of justification will never be repeated. But it's not pardon either. What's pardon? You know what happens with pardoned criminals? A record is kept that they've been pardoned. But when a person is justified by God, acquitted of all charges forever, declared blameless in his sight, all record of guilt and of sin and of shame, past, present and future, in God's sight has been removed. What a blessed state that is. We know, don't we, that the conscience can haunt us at times. One of the godliest men, one of the most helpful men I ever knew, his past came back to him. And he lost sight of his justification. He recovered, we're glad to say that. And it haunted him, his past. Oh, how it troubled him. How Satan is very experienced in our consciences at times. But rest in this. God has nothing on record. Your sins and your iniquities, he says, I shall remember no more. Never be brought up. Never be held against you ever again. Because of the Lord Jesus, all charges have been dropped by his grace. And Paul writes to the Christians at Rome, and it's something that in church circles, if I can use that term, many need reminding of from time to time. When Paul in Romans 3 wrote to the Christians at Rome, he says this, having been, so he's speaking of past tense, having been justified freely by his grace. That word freely, it means this, that you have been justified without merit, without cause, without earning. The Lord Jesus once said these words in John 15, they hated me without a cause. It's found again in Psalm 69. Those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Now, you know, this verse in Romans 3 can safely and accurately be translated as this, having been justified without cause by his grace. You know, experienced Christians who've been on the pathway for many years say to me sometimes, you know, I can see why the Lord saves so-and-so. What a blessing they are. Giving cause to God to save. Giving reason to God to save. They've overlooked this, that we're saved by grace. Full stop. We are saved without cause. We are saved freely. We are justified without cause by God. Who does he declare righteous? Those who by faith and faith alone rest in the Lord Jesus. Even faith is a gift from God. People say, well, they had their faith. There's usually a few alarm bells when those words are said, but well, where did they get it? And who was it in? Paul writes these words, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Why did God give us the law? To show us that we need outside help. to show us that we are sinners, to show us that we are guilty. But Paul carries on. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I trust each one of us this morning. Trust and rest alone for salvation. Much more then, writes Paul, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Well, who pays for our wrath? Who pays for the guilt of our sin? Well, we know, don't we? The Lord Jesus was delivered for our offences and was raised again. Why? For our justification, that God may look upon every repentant, believing heart and declare them to be justified. Declare them to be free of all guilt. Isn't the Christian in a blessed position? Money can't buy this. Knowledge can't buy this. It is God and God alone who justifies. And the Lord Jesus was raised that men and women like you and I might be justified in his sight. So God is both the just and the justifier of everyone that believes. Therefore, by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men for condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, this is the Lord Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so they by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It gives new life, doesn't it? It gives new standing. Let me ask again. Who are you trusting in for your salvation? Who is your faith in? Well, in closing, just let me suggest a couple of things. Are there any seen results of justification? Any seen proofs or evidences? Well, there are many. Just let me mention two. To begin with, there is a change in our relationship with God. We read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this, don't we, that that was not the case before conversion. That was not the case when we didn't look to God alone. Why is that? And there are many who say this, don't we? Oh, I wasn't that bad. They're not being honest with the scriptures or their own hearts. Because the carnal mind, meaning the unconverted, the non-Christian, the non-believing in Christ mind, because the carnal mind is enmity, meaning is actively hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, you say, there's an old lady who lives by me. Well, she's such a gentle woman. She's a kind woman, but she doesn't go to church and she has no interest in the things of God. How is she actively hostile against God? Well, just let's remember this, that we were made in the image of God. And whilst that image has been scarred greatly by sin, God graciously builds a union between his people and himself that was not there. And that is seen in a reverence, the way God is spoken of. That is seen when God's name is used. It is only ever used in a respectful way. Priorities also will have changed. There is a joy in the things of God. And yes, this life for the believer can be difficult and hard at times. It can be lonely at times. But remember this, that we're on our way. We're not there yet. But there is a day coming when we shall see him. Amazingly, as he sees us now. Isn't that wonderful? That for the believer, the best is yet to be. And the believer is the one who has been justified, had all charges of guilt removed because of Christ and the shedding of his blood to everyone that believeth. And although at times we cannot see it, there is a day coming when his glory shall be fully realized in heaven. There's one change. God is spoken of in a different way, a respectful way, an honoring way, a reverential way. You know, we had a man who came to us for perhaps 7 or 8 years. A man who was a pastor, a retired pastor. He went to his homeland in Africa to see his days out. But at times, you could cringe the way God was spoken of, even repacing his name for swear words. Oh dear, for the believer, and the believer alone, we have peace with God. But then finally, it brings about not just a change in our relationship with God, but our relationships with other people, especially with those of the household of faith. His love was poured into the hearts of every one that he justifies, to the point of it being overflowed. Do you love God? Do you love his people? Because justification shall be seen in that, you know. Oh yes. You see, God, in our sight, did not declare that we shall see each other as perfect. He declared us to be righteous in his sight. And one of the evidences is this, of justification. We shall love God, and we shall love his children also. It enables us to get along with the oddballs and with the difficult ones. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. You see, God doesn't expect any of us to do that which he doesn't enable us to do. What's justification? A gracious act of God, declaring righteous the sinner who believes in Christ Jesus, brings peace with God, builds us up in the things of himself, and even has an effect for the positive of our relationships with his children. Thank God this morning that he justifies. And may we ever pray that we would know his help and his guidance and even his blessing in our relationships with others. Amen.